17, for by one man's offense, death reigned by one, much more they would receive the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one. So in this abundance of grace, moreover, verse 20, the law entered, the offense might abound, but where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. So he said grace out abounds sin. When I go to the prisons and I minister to some of those people, you know, I've told them, don't tell me what you've done. If you did, I might would rather shoot you than preach to you. Some of those people, Vlad was telling me about going down for a special meet with one of the guys, one of the Spanish fellas. And the guy told him what he'd done to get put in there. And this guy loves the Lord, been saved, and has reading the Bible and ministering the word to the other guys. And so to Vlad, he was just another guy, like somebody in the church you'd meet. I mean, you know nothing about him. Just a born-again child of God, a Christian. And this guy told Vlad what he had done. And Vlad said it nauseated him, made him sick. He just didn't want it. He didn't like the guy, didn't want to talk to him anymore. Didn't want to be there, didn't want to preach to him when he heard what he'd done. And Vlad told me what he'd done. And I was thinking, well, maybe he gets out, then we can kill him or something, you know. Now you say, well, that's awful. Yeah, it is. But you know what I tell those guys down there? I tell them, you better receive this grace because you won't get it from me. And you won't get it from the sheriffs, and you won't get it from the court. You won't get it from your wife, your kids, or the world. I said, this is a grace bigger than anything I can understand. This is a grace deeper and freer than anything I'd ever give. God gave his son to die for your sin, and it pays for all of it, every one of them. No matter how low and depraved, this great grace comes and sanctifies the worst of sinners. I have watched the grace of God save people that I didn't think was savable. I've watched the grace of God transform people that I thought were too far gone. Deb had a nephew that was the lowest of the low. He even got to where he became a firebug, go around burning people's houses down. He didn't seem to be emotionally there. He seemed to be intellectually deficient as well as just mean and ornery and stupid. And he was a total loss. Now, I had witnessed to him years ago when he was 16, 17 years old, and then we left. We lost contact with him and heard about some of his doings in 18, 19, 20 years old. And he was, I mean, the devil had him 100%. And we went to a Bible conference, and up walks this guy. I didn't recognize him. Deb did. And he was a little older then. And he was rejoicing in the Lord. Someone had gotten through to him with the gospel, and he'd been born again. Down in the prison, there was this queer. Now, I remember the first time I saw it. I was walking down the walk, and I looked, and I said, there's a woman prisoner in here. And had a woman's figure and everything. And I don't know if it was stuffing or hormones, taking injections or what, but looked like a woman until it turned around and it was as ugly as a dog's hind end that had the scours. But it came to some of our meetings and it never got saved. Never did. And it was used by different people and different groups, different gangs in there. It was their girl boy, they would call them. Probably then when you were in there, Tremaine. Do you remember that? Pretty queer. And it got out and went to Hohenwald, where it was in a halfway house. And some Pentecostal woman went in there to minister, and it got saved. And it was transformed. Now, I would never send a Pentecostal woman anywhere except to make biscuits. But, you know, I don't do the sending, do I? And I don't have any control over that stuff. God does what he wants to do, and he uses all kind of crooked sticks to do whatever he chooses to do. And so God used a Pentecostal woman to get that thing saved and turned it into a human being that loved God that's going to go to heaven. and rejoice in holiness. I don't understand the grace of God. It's deeper than anything I can fathom. It's broader than anything I could offer. And it goes where no one would ever go except the suffering, bleeding Lord Jesus Christ. So, the Bible speaks of clinging to the grace of God. Warns you not to depart from the grace of God. I think that's a good exhortation, to cling to the grace of God and not depart.